If there's a new development in tech, he's on it. The Tech Report with Stephen Ambrose.
Stephen Ambrose, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Today, let's chat about staying active and Fitbits as while you stay home, because it's not a joke. It's quite difficult to do. When I look at the steps that I've taken some days, I'm a little embarrassed, I have to say.
It's not steps. It's basically, they don't count if you roll off the couch and
exactly
stroll to the kitchen.
To the fridge, absolutely right.
So, yes, absolutely. Look, we've all had to deal with this change in our routines. You know, people used to be weekend warriors, hop on the bike, do the park run, occasionally pop into the gym just to keep your virgin active points alive. And we sort of had a pattern of staying fit, keeping relatively well. The madman like myself used to go pretty much every day. And this lockdown and the change and the social distancing has forced a whole new way of looking at everything on all of us. It is quite a big change. Initially, a lot of people cocooned. They just stayed at home, did nothing, literally rolled off the couch after Netflixing and popped into the fridge for a quick outing. And it was quite the expedition to the kitchen and then back to the lounge. But we have to figure out a new way of doing it. And I must say that for many years, it's absolutely proven that if you wear a wearable that tracks your steps or tracks your activity, the people that wear them and use them tend to be far more active than those that don't. So as a way to start kicking off a new habit, a new way of staying fit, using something like a Fitbit or your Apple Watch or your Samsung wearable, whatever it is, it's actually irrelevant which one you use, is a great, great idea. But the sophistication of these devices has come a huge way in the last couple of years. The latest versions of Fitbit, for example, the Charge 4 and the others that they've got, and they've got quite a range from really inexpensive all the way up to smartwatchy type things in the Versa, really make a big difference. They track your heart rate. They track your sleep rate. They've got battery lives in the 4-5 day range, which is great. You don't have to keep charging the things. And more importantly, they come with a companion app, which gives you a brilliant little dashboard of what you've been up to. It tracks your fitness. So you can check on the app itself how fit you actually are, because they calculate your VO2 max. That's the blood oxygenation level and how high it can go based on your activity. So there's so much science that's gone into the actual app behind the sensors that are strapped to your wrist that it makes a huge difference. And for my own part, I've found I've become even more involved in playing with my Fitbit app and understanding what it is that I'm doing. And to get to 10,000 steps is not easy. It's a 3K, 4K walk every morning, running around the house. In other words, 500 trips to the fridge is very important. But also what is cool is that a lot of them have home workouts. So not going to the gym is a pain. It's a hassle. It's difficult to get motivated. But if you've got an app that actually guides you through a program of training, and there are a couple of them, but Fitbit have got some cool ones. They've also got a premium thing which costs money. But then again, what you're paying, you know, if you're paying 100 rand a month for a premium app that's got tons of training, running training, walking training, fitness at home training, it makes a huge difference. So I would highly recommend that if you're watching the changes that lockdown and stay at home is bringing upon you, I think something like a Fitbit could be a great way to motivate you back into some form of structured training program, because they warn you, they track you, you can see the activity gains up and down, you can link the Fitbit app to a running app. So there's so many ways that you can structure a fitness program using your smartphone, using a wearable, using an app to track it. And it makes a huge difference. Since I've been pretty religious on that, I've been able to keep my steps way above 11,000 every day. And it helps. It helps your mental fitness. And you guys were talking about the new normal and burnout and everything that's going on in this crazy time of work from home. And I think a structured exercise plan that does not involve going to a gym, does not involve cycling every day. Well, it's good to do so, but I think it makes a huge difference. So if you're keen to try this, have a look at the Fitbit ecosystem, from inexpensive trackers all the way up to smartwatches. And most importantly, I think they have one of the coolest apps for tracking heart rate, sleep, you name it, as well as all the advice through the premium. Right now, there's a 90-day free trial, but there's also about, I was having a look, there's quite a wide range of, I think around about 40 or 50 free programs that can get you going without spending any additional money other than the device itself. So I'd highly recommend that. That's a great way to get yourself back into some form of structured exercise program, and it's good for your health, both mentally and physically.
Absolutely.
And probably keep you out of the hair of the kids as well.
And yeah, and vice versa. Very, very interesting indeed. So Stephen, another subject I wanted to ask you about is I spent about, I'm not even exaggerating, 4 hours. It might even have been 5 hours on hold with MTN yesterday. I needed to sort something out. I tried them, and then after about an hour and 20 minutes, I was cut off. I tried it again. The next time, after 2 hours, I was cut off. Then my son tried for about an hour. After tweeting and retweeting and all sorts of things, they eventually got hold of me, and we sorted it out. At no point did I ever get through to a call center. I heard their music, which was absolutely mind-numbing.
Mind-destroying.
So, and I'm not even exaggerating. My one son, who is epileptic, said to me that after, and I said to him, I couldn't be with my phone anymore because it was absolutely working into my brain. I said, do me a favor, just keep my phone for a bit and bring it to me if they answer. And he said to me, Dad, I'm not exaggerating. I think it's actually this can induce a seizure. I said to him, don't joke about things like that. He said, I'm not joking. It's an auditory thing. A certain sounds I can feel has a terrible impact on me. Anyway, either way, that being less of the issue, the issue being, what on earth is going on? And they tell you that they're experiencing high caller volumes. Can't be true. You cannot hold on to a place, at different times for more than 4 hours and still not speak to a human because of high caller volumes. Any idea what's happening at these places?
Unfortunately, they've called it right. What's happened is that with the social distancing and everything, they've had to cut down on their, if you remember the pictures of call center agents, you have like 400 people in a room clustered around tables, all with headpieces on, talking to people. And currently, because of the COVID-19 restrictions on businesses, they cannot do that. Now, MTN and Vodacom and Cell C have all done the following. Most of them have outsourced their call centers to call center companies around the country. In and of itself, that's not a bad thing. But first of all, over the last 3 months, those call center companies have been decimated. A couple have moved their staff to work from home. With technology, it's perfectly easy to do so. In other words, you've got 100 agents working from home, answering the calls, all being managed through the same call center software. That works. And Vodacom have done that, and for the most part, you can get through to an agent eventually. It is taking forever across the board. MTN, I think, have been less successful in that space, and unfortunately, it's a real problem. Honestly, I'd recommend that if you have a problem with call centers, go into the stores. The stores are open, and with the various social distancing and whatnot, it's actually quite an efficient way of doing it. You're going to have to stand in a queue and
people can
You will get attended to. But it's actually terrible that the various huge companies have not done sufficient to assist, especially under these current circumstances.
And what I kept thinking yesterday was I have to be one of their earlier clients. As soon as cell phones became available, I got a cell phone in the 90s. I don't remember when it was. It must have been about 94. 94, 95.
That's when cell phones came out in 94.
Yes, okay. So
you're probably one of the first guys to get one of those Motorolas along with me.
Yeah,
that
it was
exactly 1 hour battery life and the big aerial.
It was an Alcatel.
But I remember that.
So that's what it was. And the reason I remember it so clearly was when my one son was born in 93, my eldest son, we used the Park Lane payphone to let everybody know. But by the time my second son was born in 95, I had a cell phone. So it was, I knew it was somewhere around then. I've been a client with them since then, and I kept thinking, I can't believe how ready I am to change providers if this is the way that I feel I'm being treated. As I'm a customer, it's not like I am phoning. You know, it was just the most remarkable. I went through such a range of emotions yesterday, and the brand damage, certainly that it did for me, was absolutely terrible.
Unfortunately, what I've noticed, and if you look at Hello Peter and you follow the various channels, unfortunately, client service has taken a huge knock through this period. Very difficult to find companies that are super efficient and organized. And people themselves, I think, have taken a back step in terms of how committed they are to client service. It's quite a strange time. And in fact, I must tell you something, the companies that actually nail this right now will be the ones who will thrive going forward. But changing networks at this point will be an enormous frustration. I don't believe you'll get better service from any of the networks currently. In fact, if any of them are listening, I challenge them to prove me wrong. But it is a real challenge right now. And I think, unfortunately, we just have to have some patience, because people run these organizations. All of us have been through a traumatic experience over the last little while. All of us have tried our best to cope during these crazy times. And it has impacted basic stuff, absolutely fundamental stuff like client service. And it's a real struggle for most of us to remain as effective and efficient as we did in the past. But call center agents and agents that deal with people, I think, have taken probably the most strain, because a lot of people vent their frustration. And it's often just systematic. It's not personal. In other words, MTN simply do not have enough agents currently online in the normal course to deal with what's going on. And things carry on going wrong and not working, and things break. So it's not an easy fix, and it's highly understandable. But I think companies like MTN, Vodacom, the big companies, need to be very aware of the long-term damage they're doing to themselves by not taking care of their age of their customers, that especially those that have been with them for a long time. So no solution. Technology can actually help this, but it's people who drive technology, and that's where the challenge is coming in.
Absolutely right.